Well, those songs of praise beginning worldwide and all of creation praising God and ultimately working its way down to that very last line that we just sang, most of all that love has found us, is a fantastic introduction to what we're going to be talking about this afternoon. We've been working our way through the last week of the life of Jesus, looking at various scenes in that last week. And last time we talked about the Last Supper itself. We spent some time talking about the background of the Passover and what a first century Jewish Passover would have looked like. And one of the things that we talked about was the singing of what is called the Egyptian Hallel, a group of psalms from the Psalter itself that were sung in two parts over the Passover meal itself. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, and in Mark chapter 14 and verse 26, we're told that when they had sung a hymn, after they had sung a hymn, they went out from that place. And I got to thinking about this background, and this is one of those things that, unless this is something you've studied before, you probably haven't thought about those particular psalms in the context of the Passover itself, but even more specific than that, in the context of the last meal of Jesus on the earth before the crucifixion. And I thought about whether or not I wanted to spend time doing an entire lesson on that, because in reality, it's one of those things that it's very difficult to do justice to this in one lesson. Or we could do a sub-series within the series where we talk about the Egyptian Hallel one psalm at a time, and that seems a bit excessive as well. So we're going to do something a little bit different today from a typical sort of sermon before the Lord's Supper. What I want to do is refresh your mind about the Passover itself and what it would have looked like. And at those points where those psalms would have been sung, we're going to read them. I'm going to make a few comments about each of them before, in terms of certain things you may want to keep your eye out for as we read through them. But then we'll just read our way through these psalms. And in particular, as we listen to them, think about them in the context of how they would have sounded to Jesus, knowing what he knew was going to happen. And then after that, how they would have sounded to the apostles anytime they thought back on this occasion or read those psalms again. And so that's what I want to spend our time thinking about, is this group of psalms in the Psalter. And so to kind of set the stage again, to just remind you or those of you who weren't here last time, share this with you for the first time if you've not studied this before, we've got pretty good sources, including some early Jewish writers going back to the first century, that tell us what the Passover meal would have looked like. There were four different cups that were drunk at different times over the course of the meal that corresponded to the four statements that God makes in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. I will bring you out, I will deliver you, I will redeem you, and I will take you as my own people. And those cups were drunk at specific times in the meal with those thoughts in mind. The head of the family would pronounce a blessing over the first cup, and they would share it and then share with the bitter herbs as well. The second cup would then be prepared. And after the second cup is prepared, the youngest son in the family would ask, why is this night different from any other night? And it's not a surprise that question was coming. He was supposed to ask that question. Everyone knew he was going to ask the question. But that's what sets the stage for the father to tell the story of the Passover. And the meal was not just a meal, it was a meal that was interpreted every year and had great theological and religious significance for the people. And they would remember what happened, and they would give thanks for what happened, and they would think of the freedom that they had that God brought to them, and they would celebrate what had been done. And after the story is told, they would sing the first part of the Hallel. The Hallel is Psalms 113 through 118. And Psalm 113, of course, all of these are going to be far more than I have on the screen, but just by way of thinking of some specific things to kind of set some ideas in your mind, Psalm 113, among other things, focuses on God as a God of great reversals and one who lifts up the needy. And in particular, at the end of this psalm, there's a reference to the barren woman who is made a joyous mother of children. And it is particularly reminiscent of Hannah's song after she conceives Samuel back in 1 Samuel. And that song itself is strongly echoed by Mary's song. And you can't think of a barren woman and the theme of barren women and miraculous childbirth throughout the Old Testament without realizing that that has ultimately culminated in Mary herself. Though she is not barren, technically speaking, as a virgin, she certainly should not be conceiving children. And so there is that echo here, and that would surely bring to mind his own birth, even at the beginning of this collection of psalms. Then they would sing Psalm 114 next. And this is the only psalm among them all that makes specific reference to the Exodus itself. This is the one that, more than anything else, binds this collection of psalms to the Passover. And just then, as God delivered His Son, Israel, from Egypt, and the exile then after that, which was a new exodus after they'd been carried into Babylonian captivity, so also Jesus would realize He could deliver His true Son from the exile of death that was coming to Him. And so with that in mind, Psalm 113, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became His sanctuary, Israel His dominion. The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. Well, after those two psalms are sung, then, the head of the family takes the unleavened bread. He blesses it and breaks it and distributes it to the family. And after the bread has been shared, the Passover meal itself is eaten among the family. And over this, after the meal, then, the final two cups follow, the cup of blessing probably being the one that corresponds to the second cup, or the cup in the Last Supper itself that Jesus emphasizes. At the end of it all, they sing Psalms 115 through 118. Psalm 115 is a psalm that focuses on the foolishness of idolatry and, by contrast, the need to trust the Lord. And this is a Lord who remembers His people. And, of course, remembering, as we've talked about almost excessively recently, always means action. It doesn't mean mental recall. It means God acting on behalf of His people in reference to His covenant. And in particular, at the end of this psalm, the very noteworthy statement that surely would have been on Jesus' mind as He sung this in verse 17, "The dead do not praise the Lord." Psalm 116, along those same lines, focuses on deliverance from death. More than anything else, this psalm focuses on the fact that God is a God who delivers from death. And you can think about this really in two parts as you think about how Jesus would have heard this psalm on that last night. God is the one who delivers from death, and where do they go from here but to Gethsemane, where He asks to be delivered from death? Let this cup pass from me. Jesus does not want to go through this, at least on some level. Yet at the same time, He knows that if this is what must be done, He is more than willing to do it, because that's what God's will is at this point. And so He is willingly going to the cross and submitting to the cross. And so when God does not deliver Him from death in Gethsemane, He knows that God will deliver Him from death in the tomb. And He does not die, not in a permanent sense. Psalm 117, of course, is the shortest psalm in the entire Psalter. And this psalm is quite simply praise of God for His faithful covenant love. And this is that word that we talk about from time to time in Hebrew. It's translated steadfast love in the translation I'm reading from. It may be translated loving kindness in your translation or mercy in your translation. And all of those are good but not sufficient translations of the word. All of them together might begin to encompass something of what this word is talking about. But it's love and it's mercy and it's kindness and it's faithfulness and it's steadfastness that is rooted in a covenant relationship. And it's more than all of that as well. And that's what God is being praised for here. And then finally, Psalm 118 is probably the one that is quoted most frequently in the New Testament out of all of these psalms. The psalmist here is confined with no way of escape. He's surrounded by his enemies. He's on the brink of death. And he's not given over to death because the Lord was his helper. And so man could do nothing to him. Regardless of what it looks like they're doing, regardless of what they think they're accomplishing, they can do nothing to him because the Lord is with him. And ultimately, at the end of this psalm, the gate of righteousness is opened up for all who will go through it. And again, you think about how that would have sounded as Jesus knows what he is going to accomplish in the cross. And in particular, what I would encourage you to do, because I can't put all of that on the screen, is to imagine in particular Psalm 118 as a prayer of Christ with Christ as the main speaker. That this is Jesus speaking himself, and imagine then how that would have sounded. So we'll conclude reading these psalms, and then I'll conclude my part this afternoon with a prayer. Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Our good Father and our Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for what you have done in our lives, that you have answered us, that you have become our salvation, that you are a God who is faithful to your promises, regardless of the mistakes that mankind makes over the centuries, that you have done what you are going to do, and you have opened the gates of salvation to all who would enter. We thank you for the deliverance that you gave your people Israel to teach us to trust in you. We're thankful for the deliverance that you gave to your son Jesus in bringing him out of death and seating him at your right hand. And we're thankful for the deliverance that you give to us, that we can share in a new and great exodus that sets us free from the captivity of sin, the worst captivity of all, and for the liberation and the freedom that you provide in your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. We don't have time to talk about it today, but from here, Jesus and the disciples go to Gethsemane. We'll spend our next lesson thinking about that. For now, we'll sing a song that takes us along with Jesus to Gethsemane, and then we'll share in the Lord's Supper together.